The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Important show today, important and timely. The first hour, we're going to be talking to Professor Dr. Andro about the actual issues related to the Fukushima meltdown. Do we really have anything to worry about? And, you know, don't forget, he's a physicist. So if anybody knows about this stuff, he does. Later in the show, we're going to have Dr. Michael Smith from Life Extension Foundation. We're going to be covering three separate topics with him today. Really, really good stuff. First of all, new research that shows BCAAs have longevity benefits. Who knew? Also, a new seaweed that actually can reverse metabolic syndrome. And lastly, a new look at sex hormone binding globulin. That's later in the show with Dr. Michael Smith. Before we get started, I have one announcement to make. OrbitNutrition.com. OrbitNutrition.com. That name should be emblazoned in your brain from the show. They have a couple new products that I want you to go check out, made by Genomics. They have a new nutrient partitioner called SlynSane, which will turn more of your food into muscle and less in fat because it is a insulin mimetic, a very powerful insulin mimetic. And also Genomics Protocol, which is a post-workout, intra-workout drink. And you can actually use these two together as a stack. And if you buy them as a stack, you save big money. Go to OrbitNutrition.com today and check out Genomics' new products, SlynSane and Protocol, and tell Mitch that Carl sent you. Okay. It's always a pleasure to have this fellow on the show. Who knew? I've always known he was intelligent. Now I know why. The guy is born a day after me. Oh, my God. And it's Professor Dr. Andro. How you doing?
I'm fine, Cal. How are you?
Very good. Very good. And do you know that Dr. Oz is also born on June the 11th? We have all of these, well, I don't know about him, but at least you and I are geniuses. That's all.
Okay. I don't want to comment on Dr. Oz, but, it's special people are born in June.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And before we get started, with our interview, you actually want to take issue with something that I propagated on a show recently where I discussed the potential for soy causing radio sensitivity to cellular telephones and causing DNA damage. Why don't you tell me what you want to say on the air?
It's really directly related to our topic today, because what you said was basically, your basic message was that there is a continuous a continuum between normal radiation like radios and cell phones and ECT telephones, and then gamma radiation. And despite saying that there is a huge difference in frequency, you did not make it quite clear that, in fact, there is a major difference in how these types of radiation affect your body, because the low-frequency radiation, even cell phones and microwaves, these are non-ionizing radiation. So this means that other than gamma radiation, the electrons that bind the individual atoms to molecules, and the molecules build up your DNA and your cells, these electrons can be removed by ionizing radiation. It's like you can think of a weapon and a bullet, and if you fire the bullet with a weapon, then it's deadly. So these high-energy photons in quantum mechanics, we are not thinking of waves, but we are thinking of quantum objects. And these quantum objects, of which electromagnetic waves consist, these are photons. And these photons have a very high energy if they are coming from gamma radiation. And so they are like a bullet from a weapon. if you take the same bullet and just throw it on somebody, then it won't hurt him. Maybe it will hit him, and maybe he gets a small red dot, but his cells won't be damaged. So in essence, there's a major difference in the...
Okay, but at the same time, you did find some cause for concern with soy, but for something that I talked about, but for a different reason, and that is the ability for soy to do what? Turn off the repair system for DNA.
Exactly, because it does not really matter if the DNA damage occurs due to ionization, which of course is a major and almost certain damage to the DNA, or if it happens due to toxins or due to quote-unquote normal radiation, you are exposed constantly, because we know that constant exposure to cell phone radiation, for example, increases a reactive oxygen species, and this may in fact also damage your DNA. And if you ingest large amounts of soy, you block your body's natural capability to repair the DNA, and that was what I think is a major finding of the study you cited, that the scientists found that the mechanism by which the body repairs, and it also repairs the cancer cells, this mechanism is switched off if you take those isoflavones from soy. And thus, the cancer therapy with gamma radiation is more effective because the body cannot defend itself against the radiation.
Right. So in summary, soy, if we're looking for longevity tools and supplements and protocols, soy is the antithesis of a longevity food. It actually promotes aging because it keeps the DNA from repairing. Let's just leave it at that because we have a lot of important stuff to talk about today.
Yeah.
Professor Dr. Andrew has done a ton of research, and being a physicist, he understands this better than any of us. So first of all, let's talk about Fukushima. What fundamentally happened in Fukushima, for those people who are not aware of what takes place when a nuclear reactor suffers this type of trauma?
Well, I just want to give a very brief outline. So on March 11th, there was this earthquake, and what is important to understand about this is that the scientists or the engineers had planned the power plant to survive earthquakes that have a magnitude of 8.2. And the earthquake that happened on March 11th had a magnitude of 9.0. And now this looks like it is not much more, but you must know that this is a logarithmic scaling. That means 2 on this scale means 10 times 10. 3 means 10 times 10 times 10. So 8 means 8 times 10 multiplied by itself, and 9 means 9 times 10 multiplied by itself. So this earthquake was 8 times stronger than the earthquake they had laid the plant out for.
Wow. So there was no way to prepare for this sort of a catastrophe.
No, it was. This was a disaster that nobody had thought possible. And
obviously, when something like this happens in a nuclear reactor, it's very difficult to contain this type of a problem. I mean, there's no real way to contain this, is there?
Well, the actual problem was not the reactor itself. The reactor survived the accident, but the problem was that with a fission reactor, it does not work like a car engine. You turn it on and you turn it off whenever you want, but you turn it on and it's running and running and running, and it's generating heat at a very high rate. And the earthquake, in fact, or the tsunami and the earthquake together, they destroyed the cooling system, and then everything got out of hand, and the reactor got hotter and hotter, and then there are interesting reactions happening inside the reactor where hydrogen is freed from water. Water is hydrogen and oxygen, and this is the two elements are separated at very high temperatures, and the hydrogen is highly explosive. And this is actually what you saw on television when suddenly those buildings exploded. It was the hydrogen that that evaporated from the water that was heating up by the uncontrolled chain reaction.
Wow. So that's amazing. Too bad we can't harness that hydrogen. We could take water and make cars run. Listen, we have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up where we're leaving off right now with Professor Dr. Andrew. This is going to be really interesting, interesting information. Do we have anything to worry about? I think we're going to discover some answers when we come back.
Down around the corner, a half a mile from here.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at NeedToBuildMuscle.com. Pre-workout products crank you up, then leave you flat and fatigued. Except now, you're strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroyed your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula here. Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or a loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get Lit Up today at appnut.com. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Maybe I didn't love you quite as often as
I should have. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. That's Willie Nelson bringing us back from the break. Very important stuff. We've got Professor Dr. Andrew on, and we're going to be talking more about Fukushima. Do we really have anything to worry about? Is this being blown out of proportion? Personally, I don't think so. I think that there's a lot more damaging effects than the media wants us to know about. Okay, let's pick it up from here, Dr. Andrew. Let's talk about radioactive radiation versus radioactive substances for a moment, so we can discern between the two potential threats.
Well, you need to understand that the people working at the site itself, they are directly exposed to radioactive radiation, and there are basically three types of radiation. That is alpha, beta, and gamma radiation. And you need to know that alpha radiation is basically helium fear nuclei, that is a particle, and the good thing about the alpha radiation is that it has a range of only 10 centimeters in air, and it does not even pass the bad skins of your cells. But the bad news is, if you ingest anything that is radiating alpha radiation, like, for example, radioactive isotopes, then you have it directly in your body, and it's the most damaging type of radiation.
Wow.
Then the next one is beta radiation, which are basically electrons and positrons, that is, charged particles. And they have different ranges between 8 centimeter and 7 meters, depends on how much energy they have. And they are also easily to block by anything that that guides electricity. So any metal will block them. So even this would be easy to avoid if you do not ingest any radioactive substances. And then the third type is the gamma radiation we already heard about in the soil study. And this is what you would normally say is a normal electromagnetic wave, and thus it has theoretically an unlimited range, but its intensity its intensity goes down with the distance it's traveling.
Right, and I actually talked about that on the air when I was talking about UHF, VHF, commercial cellular frequencies. Smaller the waveform, the greater intensity it has and the greater penetration ability it has, but the least range it has per watt of power.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
exactly. Because if you think in the quantum mechanics image, then there are just less photons. Because each photon has more energy, you have less photons. So if you have 10 photons and you disperse them around, over a certain area, then you have per part of area less photons than if you have low energy photons, but a thousandth of them. So that's basically the analogy.
So, but gamma radiation is the one that we have the most to fear, or no?
Actually, if you ingest anything, you must fear alpha radiation the most. There is a scale that ranges from 1 to 20. And their gamma radiation is 1, beta radiation is 2 to 3, and alpha radiation is 20. So this is the most damaging, just because these are really large particles, and they are able to really disrupt cell structures.
So in theory, or in actuality, I should say, while the nuclear reactor may be radiating, let's say, beta and gamma rays, they don't get very far away from the site. But the real problem is the particulate matter that is cast into the atmosphere through the explosion or spills into the water through the steam that goes into the air as well. That particulate matter can then land anywhere. It can land on food crops in regions close by, or it can travel via water. And really, the particulate matter is what we have to worry about, correct?
Exactly, and that is also what you always hear in the news, that are these elements, iodine-131 and cesium and strontium and plutonium, of course. These are the dangers not only for the Japanese people, but for everybody in the world, because it's possible that they travel the world with jet streams, or they poison the water, or they are, they become part of our food chain by being ingested by fish or by algae, for example, and you eat algae that has radioactive iodine in it. And with all these isotopes, they are called isotopes, all these elements, you have different half-lives. For example, the one we are hearing about most now, the iodine, has a relatively short half-life. So the half-life is 8 days. That means that after 8 days, you only have 50% of the iodine left. But that does not mean that it's completely away in 16 days, but it's an exponential decay. That means the less iodine you have, the less iodine will decay. And so after about 27 days, you still have 10% left. And it takes about 53 days until you only have 1% of the iodine left. So a calculation like the half-life is 8 days, and it would take, let's say, 5 days for the wind to blow the iodine from Japan to the coast of California. It's pretty useless because you could then say it's only 50% left, but there are still enough days for little amounts of iodine being present in whatever, for example, the rain that's falling down then. And what? Then you, of course, have the other elements, like cesium, which has a half-life about 30 years, and strontium, same half-life, 29 years. And last but not least, plutonium, which is everybody knows as the basis for the atomic bomb. And there are different isotopes of plutonium, and some of the one of them has a half-life of 80.8 million years.
Holy mackerel. I thought you were going to say 80 years. 80.8 million years?
Yeah. And the plutonium that was stored in Fukushima, we are lucky, it has a half-life of only 24,000 years.
Oh, great. Perfect. So it'll burn out before I'm dead. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question. These radioactive materials, are they naturally occurring in nature? In other words, in the core of the Earth somewhere, is there plutonium? Is there strontium 90? Are these things are these exclusively energized by man?
In the case, there is iodine, radioactive iodine, and I'm not 100% sure, but I think especially the different isotopes of plutonium, they are man-made. And it took us quite a time to find which of these isotopes works best for an atomic bomb. And it's quite interesting to know that here in Europe there have been investigations into the radioactivity or the level of radioactivity that started somewhere in the late 20s of the 20th century. And if you have a look at this data, then you will find that the highest radiation exposure was not after the Chernobyl disaster, but in the 60s, when the USSR and the USA, they did their atomic bomb tests, and they did not do them under the earth, but
right.
on the surface.
Right, and as a matter of fact, I knew a guy, this is a true story, when I lived in Las Vegas, I was in the optical business, and I used to go out and fit safety glasses out at the Tonopah test site, and I met a man who, when he was in third grade, was taken out to the desert with his entire class to witness an above-ground atomic detonation.
Yeah.
And do you know that everyone in his class had died of some form of cancer and lost their teeth at a very young age and suffered terrible, terrible issues with health just because they were taken with their class on a class outing to watch this amazing new technology?
Yeah. And just one thing related to these atomic bombs. I think everybody must also understand that will never have this explosion or this kind of explosion in Fukushima, no matter how bad the situation becomes. This is something completely different. The reaction is much slower. It's happening much slower in a nuclear plant than in an atomic bomb. So you won't get this fundamental explosion. The worst case scenario is that you will have a further smaller explosions that disperse all these radioactive material into the atmosphere. That's the worst case scenario. That would be exactly what happened in Chernobyl, where they had a different reactor type that that could explode much easier and burned and was not able to extinguish the fire. So this worst case scenario is not like an atomic bomb explosion, just to make that sure that everybody understands this.
Right,
and
right.
Another thing I think is very important is to know all those different units you now hear about, because how do we measure radiation? There, I think there are three units you should know about. The one is the Becquerel, and Becquerel is just a measurement of how many of these ionization processes are happening per second. Then we have the gray, that is a measurement of how much energy the tissue per kilogram absorbs.
So now that this is very similar to a light, it's measured in joules, correct?
Yeah, it's joule per kilogram, exactly. And then we have a very complicated unit, that is the sievert, and this is the biological dose equivalent of radiation. And this unit says you how dangerous this is.
Ah.
So this also considers if it's alpha radiation, if it's beta radiation, or if it's gamma radiation, the energy is coming from.
So you don't even have to care about what energy, what source it is. You just have to know what the sievert is, and then you know if it's dangerous or not, in other words.
Exactly, because that's also that's already calculated. And it's quite interesting to see that the average background from the exposure to radiation from the average background radiation, if you have a global medium, you have 3 millisieverts. This is 1,000th of sievert, 1 sievert, millisievert. 3 is globally the average, and in the USA, it's interestingly 6. So it's 2 times the quote-unquote normal radiation exposure.
Wow.
So let me
ask you a question. Is there any information coming out of Fukushima right now about the people who are working at the plant site and what levels of radiation they are being exposed to? Are those people all pretty much dead? Are they just walking dead people at this point in time?
If you go by the recommendations of the International Commission on Radiological Protection, then they are condemned to death, because I've heard of figures of 500 millisievert per hour, and the recommendation of the International Commission on Radiological Protection is 500 millisievert overall for 1 year is the absolute maximum for volunteers averting major nuclear escalation. So these people working at Fukushima, they will have received this dangerous dose several times already, I would expect. But in fact, you do not get real, you do not know what to believe, because you hear different information each day. And I've heard of 1,000 millisievert, which is 1 sievert, that is 2 times the maximum allowed exposure. And I've also heard of 50 millisievert. Which would not be that dangerous. Maybe it's quite interesting to know that there are studies trying to quantify the risk of cancer in terms of radiation exposure. And if you have 400 people, then and out of these 400 people, normally 170 people would get cancer for whatever reason. If they were exposed to 20 millisievert. That is, you remember I just said these workers get about 500 millisieverts
right.
per hour,
right.
or got about 500 millisieverts per hour on some days. If you get 20 millisieverts per year, then out of these 400 people, one person would get cancer due to this exposure. If you get 100 millisieverts per year, then 4 persons out of these 400 would get cancer. And then there are there's some definite data that you get radiation sickness, which is basically stomach problems, nausea, sometimes internal bleeding, if you are exposed to 1,000 millisievert. And I have heard figures like that about in connection with the workers at the Fukushima plant, that they were exposed to radiation levels like about 1,000 millisievert. This is a level where you get acutely sick, and if you get 10,000 millisievert, this is usually fatal.
I hope that these guys are getting paid a good wage, that their families will be able to have a great life without them. I mean, it's one thing to be a soldier and risk death, but also maybe come home alive. But it's another thing entirely to know that you're going to work and you're going to come. You're basically a walking dead man. That's shocking to me. Which begs the question: do we really need nuclear energy to produce electricity? I mean, isn't there some other way that, you know, it's almost like, how do you produce electricity with a technology that you cannot control? It's like somebody who buys a lion or a tiger because they want home protection, and the tiger ends up killing and eating them. Yes. It doesn't make any sense.
And what's more, even when the tiger is dead and he does not protect you anymore, you cannot just bury him because he will haunt you. You will always have those radioactive waste that must be buried miles under the earth so that it will never harm anybody. And then suddenly, out of the sudden, there is another earthquake, and this vault where you buried the atomic waste, it suddenly collapses, and all the stuff is back into the, it comes back.
Exactly. It never goes away. We talk about sustainable living. There's nothing sustainable about nuclear power. Let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to pick up this discussion with Professor Dr. Andro. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. Pre-workout products crank you up, then leave you flat and fatigued. Except now, you're strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroyed your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula here. Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or a loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get Lit Up today at appnut.com. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels, but most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MahLer.com. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, at Primordial Performance comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
You ready?
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking about radiation, Fukushima, what we need to know about it. Professor Dr. Andrew, I want to take you just slightly off course of your dissertation for a moment. And I want you to, I know that you are a physicist and you are a man who delves in empirical evidence and absolutes. But I want you to use your imagination for a moment, combined with your infinite knowledge of this type of science, and just tell me, in your opinion, what do you think the potential exposure to the world is? So, for instance, let's start closest to Japan. The country is closest to Japan, and then let's come further. And do you think that we really? I hear a lot of reports that people are finding radioactive material in Minnesota. Could it be from Fukushima? Could it have been there all along and nobody was looking?
Well, this is very difficult to answer. I think it could be from Fukushima. But it's more likely, to be honest, that this is something your government didn't tell you about some kind of problems and accidents either in nuclear plants or something related to the American back from the Manhattan Project. There could still be atomic waste from these days. So it's difficult to say that. But in general, I think that the whole catastrophe in Fukushima is downplayed very much, especially by the Japanese government. I think, for example, in the first weeks, they rated it as a 4 on the scale of how dangerous the disaster is, and a 4 is just an accident, basically. So it's like nothing. And at that time, I already said they won't be able to control this, and it turns out they are not able to control this, and it's ridiculous that they still believe that they can control the reactor and reinstall the cooling system and cool everything down, and this thing will quiet down. I don't think this will happen. The only solution I see is to build this kind of sarcophagus they built in Chernobyl, and to just seal this whole thing off. And you can do this, of course, only when it has cooled down to a certain level, and this is the optimal scenario I could consider. I don't think that they will ever be able to manage that in a way that the plant is, well, I won't say operating, but it's really under control. I don't think this will happen. And what we must realize is that they already dumped huge amounts of radioactive material into the sea. And somewhere down the food line, it will eventually reach us. It will reach us by the contamination by contaminated ships that arrive at our harbors. It will reach us by fish and seafood and seaweed and
whatever. Forget about that. It's going to reach us through atmospheric recycling of moisture. The ocean gives off moisture. It turns into rain. It doesn't rain right down where it was picked up. It rains down in other places because clouds travel.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if you stopped eating fish today, if you said, you know what, the hell with it, I'm never going to eat another piece of fish. I'm gonna buy beef from my local farmer. You still can't get out of the way of it.
No, you can't. But in fact, it's quite interesting if you really. You said that that I like the hard facts, and if you try to find the hard facts, which turned out to be quite difficult, because wherever you are seeking, you always have to look who did which study and who financed which study, and it's really difficult to find definite answers. And but it turns out that lower radiation doses, like doses smaller than 100 millisieverts. In this case, there is a study from 2010, or it's rather a review, where the author concludes that all these epidemiological studies done, they are quite useless in terms of the radiation effects from radiation that is smaller than 100 millisieverts, because the statistical differences in these epidemiological studies cannot be really linked back to the radiation as the source of cancer or whatever. And so we must say that in essence, we do know very little about the long-term consequences of radiation. The most things we know or we learned are from the Chernobyl disaster. And as it turns out, this is exactly what you just said. What was the most dangerous and still is the most dangerous is the discharge of radioactive particles, and its distribution across Europe and across the world via rain and wind and water, etc. And you still have outside the 30-kilometer zone around Chernobyl, you still have today 1,000 times higher radiation than normal. And people are living there, and they are growing their vegetables, and they are eating their vegetables. And interestingly, there have been numerous studies, and the only type of cancer which has been definitely linked back to the consumption of these vegetables and to the effects of Chernobyl is thyroid cancer in children. This is the only one that is, well, I would not say that is existent, but that is at least officially recognized as a consequence of disaster.
Right. But we're going to skip the next break, and we're going to go right through to the end of the show because we've got a lot more stuff to cover. What I really want to do now for the listeners is I want to talk about what people can do. You know, I think that everybody realizes we can't get out of the way of this disaster. But we can do things to minimize the potential damage to our bodies. So I know the first and foremost thing that goes through my mind is to abandon any products from Japan. I don't care what they are. You have to assume that they're going to be laced and traced.
Could be your car.
What's that?
Your Toyota could possibly be radioactive.
Yes, you could be sitting. You could spend two and a half hours a day each way sitting in a radioactive microwave oven of sorts with wheels. So, you know, I would avoid everything from Japan. I'm sorry to say that to the Japanese. I mean, I feel bad, but you know what? If I had a terminal disease that was highly contagious, I would not force myself upon my friends and loved ones. You know, I would say, hey, I've got to die on my own. And unfortunately, Japan has to die on its own right now.
I think what is important to say that is this all would not be necessary if you really could rely on the government to take the measures that would avoid any contaminated food and any contaminated objects to be imported. So you would have to check each and every object for radiation.
Right.
So whenever you're not sure or you cannot be 100% sure that this object has been tested, I would try to avoid it, yeah.
Yes. I say, you know what, I'm a big fan of erring on the side of caution. You know,
yeah.
I don't eat soy. Maybe it is good for you. Maybe it is safe. But a lot of the stuff I read about it means it's bad. So I don't eat soy. I am not buying anything from Japan. No products whatsoever from Japan. If it originates from Japan and it was manufactured after the date of the explosion, I'm not interested in it. Number one. Number two, what about taking potassium iodine? I hear a lot of pros and cons. Can it damage your thyroid if you take it? And should people be taking it?
Well, generally, I think it's the potential damages are overrated.
Okay.
So people have been taking Lugol solution. I think you will have heard about this.
Yes.
Iodine and iodide.
Yes.
The combination is quite high a dose, and this people have been taking this for several decades.
Yes. Yes.
And it's relatively seldom that they are getting any symptoms. But you must be aware of the possibility that if you already have some kind of a thyroid problem, like an autoimmune thyroiditis that has not yet broken out or that is at a level where you do not feel it, then the intake of high amounts of iodine could trigger this. And also, the basic mechanism by which this is working is that it temporarily disables your thyroid so that the radioactive iodine is not taken up.
Right.
There are two different...
The idea is to displace the radioactive iodine by saturating the thyroid so that it's not looking for any additional iodine.
This is a positive theory how it works, and there's also a negative theory, but I think This relates to what is called the Wolff-Chaikoff effect. And the Wolff-Chaikoff effect is used in hyperthyroid people, where you give them high doses of iodine and thus shut down their thyroid function. And this is, however, not conclusively has not been conclusively shown in human beings. It's again something where we know that this happens in rodents, especially in rats, but where we are not sure that this is happening in human beings. And maybe it's also interesting for the listeners to know that the dosage, there's an official recommendation of how much iodine you should take in the case of a nuclear fallout. The dosage you should take, if you're an adult over 40 years, an adult over 80, if you're an adult in general, you take 130 milligrams a day. And this is roughly or almost about 1,000 times of the RDA. So this is a really huge amount of iodine. But in fact, normally your body should cope with it pretty well. And what they did after Chernobyl, and they did not do it everywhere, but they did it in Poland, they passed out those iodine tablets. And what they later found, although those people, I think they got only 30 milligrams, so this is roughly one-fourth of the dose that is recommended today, although the dose was relatively low, they there were much fewer cases of thyroid cancer in Poland than in the other countries of the former USSR.
So supplementing even with a low dose of one quarter of that recommendation, or even one half, seems to have some protective benefits. Now, you have a whole list of antioxidant boosting products. I'm going to post this list on the Superhuman Radio blog as soon as the show is over, so people can go there and get it, because it's a lot of stuff. But what you're professing here is that people upregulate their intake of all well-known antioxidants, correct?
Yeah. What I started out my research and tried to dig up the newest studies on what could help. And I found that basically everything that is antioxidant and that helps to upregulate your glutathione metabolism, everything that does this helps. And the list you will be publishing does only compromise the first hit I got in my PubMed search. And basically the take-home message is that you want to do everything to increase your antioxidants and to boost your glutathione. And
guess what boosts glutathione spontaneously upon it hitting the liver? Whey protein.
For example, because it's high in cysteine. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, you know, make sure you're getting plenty of whey protein in your diet.
You have plenty of onions. Onions and garlic, for example. All those sulfur-containing foodstuff is good for glutathione.
And then Dr. Rouse told me on a phone call a couple days ago to observe detoxification pathways. Things that are designed to detoxify, like DMSA and so forth, should be utilized. You should make sure that your detoxification pathways are working properly, like using glycinate and glycine, and so on and so forth, because that will help the body rid itself of those agents that are in you, while the antioxidants are protecting you from the damage of those agents that you may have absorbed.
Yeah, and pretty important is also selenium. Selenium,
yes,
is always important when it comes to detox and when it comes to thyroid function, because you need iodine and selenium for your thyroid to function properly. And in this case, you can supplement with, let's say, 200 micrograms or 400 micrograms and eat some Brazil nuts. Brazil nuts are one of my favorites.
Brazil, you know what? One Brazil nut, the average-sized Brazil nut, has 600 to 800 micrograms of selenium. So just eat one Brazil nut a day.
Yeah.
That's
you
all.
You get plenty of selenium from them, and you do not have to be afraid that it will intoxicate you. I don't know where these horror stories come from, but I think it's due to a few supplements that had doses of selenium that were 1,000 times of what was said on the label. And I still believe that there is always a difference in intaking any supplement with artificial certain forms of selenium. It's much different than getting it from real food.
Yeah, because there's always a synergy in real food that we miss when we try to isolate something. Right, right. Now let's we're coming close. We have about 8 or 9 minutes left in the show. I want to discuss the politics of nuclear power for a minute. You are a physicist. You you have to embrace the magic of nuclear fission. How do you feel about the proliferation of nuclear power plants throughout the world?
Well, I think that nuclear technology is not the energy technology of the future. We have seen how dangerous it is. We do not have a solution for the waste problem. It's not a solution to just dig a hole, throw all the waste into the hole, and bury it. That's not a solution. If you could really recycle all the nuclear material, then it could be a possibility that you could consider building new nuclear plants. But what the industry is telling you, that those plants are cheap, this is a farce, because they can only build them because the government is willing to guarantee them loans, and they are freeing the nuclear industry of all liabilities. And a normal company would have to insure such a power plant, and the insurance alone, it would cost millions, it could cost billions, because every insurance calculates how much does it cost if this nuclear power plant will explode. And if you look at what the disaster in Fukushima will cost the Japanese people, then you can imagine that no insurance company would ever be willing to take that risk and insure a nuclear power plant. So if the U.S., who is always so proud of their free market. If this was a free market, there would not be a single nuclear power plant in the USA.
And you know what? It comes back to the corruption of politicians. And I, you know what? I've come to the point where I don't think there is an uncorrupt or uncorruptible politician out there any longer. You noted in your show notes, Exelon Corporation, the U.S. largest operator of nuclear power plants, spent $3.7 million in lobbying and more than $500,000 on campaign donations just during 2010. So Obama's top political aide, David Axelrod, was once a lobbyist for Exelon.
Yeah. That's what my research said. So I hope the sources are correct, yeah.
This it makes me gag. It disgusts me because these greedy, unscrupulous, power-hungry individuals who we vote into office are just crapping on the world. They're crapping on the world. We will never, ever be able to just simply walk away from the damages of nuclear power. We won't. It's your home. You're living in it, and you're going to put something in it that will eventually kill you.
You and your kids and your kids' kids. Remember the half-life of plutonium.
Yeah, 24,000 years. My kids' kids, forget about it. 100 generations.
Yeah. Interestingly, plutonium is not only radioactive, it's also highly toxic.
So
it's double deadly.
Yeah, right. Right. If it doesn't kill you one way, it'll kill you the other way. You know, it's just terrible. I'm reading your notes about the Obama administration.
Yeah.
They proposed $36 billion in federal loan grants to jumpstart the construction of new nuclear power plants.
Yeah.
$36 billion. You know what? Those are our tax dollars. You know what I think we need to do? I don't want to turn this into a political show. I think that next election, no one should go and vote. No one. I think everybody who is disgusted with the government should just sit home and no one vote. Don't change. You know, the way we could totally lock government up if everybody would realize that the people running this country are destroying the country. No one vote. Don't even show up for the vote.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen that in the news, and I don't think it was on CNN, but right after the disaster in Fukushima happened here in Germany, 10,000 of people walked on the streets and demonstrated against a plan of the government to extend the time the nuclear power plants in Germany are going to run. And the government acted immediately and took back this new order, and the current standing is that six of those plants have already been shut down within the last weeks, and they probably won't return onto the net. And I think in the U.S. the situation is kind of awkward, because you can choose between the Democrats and the Republicans, and both favor atomic energy as one of their options to get independent of energy sources from the Middle East, for example, from the oil countries. And it's not only about the money the companies make and the money the companies or the lobbyists give to politics, but it's also about being independent of energy sources outside the U.S. And I think this is short-sighted in a way, because somewhere in the future the Iran supply will end, and there are calculations saying 60 years. This is, of course, from the people who are against nuclear power. And the U.S. government proposes calculations which are based on what amounts of uranium they are expecting to find in the coming years.
Wow.
And they say it will last us about 200 years. But what's interesting about the figure 60 years, that is the lowest calculated number of years, is that this is, it's by no chance, this is the time a nuclear power plant has to run to give the company revenues, so that they can really make money out of it. It's about, the calculation says, these plants have to run about 60 years.
I want to close the show with two comments that you sent me in your show notes. I want to read these from your show notes.
Okay.
Only a few days ago, Chairman of the House Energy Committee, Texas Republican Joe Barton, demanded reassurance that the $36 billion in loan guarantees would come through for the building of new nuclear power plants. Now, I want to read something else to my friends on the East Coast. Early in March, the NRC approved a 20-year license extension to the Vermont Yankee nuclear plant on the Connecticut River border with Massachusetts. So you guys in the New England state, listen to this. The plant's reactor is the same make and model as the one at Fukushima that they're having all these problems with. And lastly, on a side note, and these are not my notes. These are Professor Dr. Andrew's notes, so you can accredit him with this. On a side note, Joe Barton was the congressman last year who publicly apologized to BP for the public criticism that they got for crapping in the Gulf of Mexico. He apologized to them. Somebody needs to stick a rod up his ass and hang him from a tree. I mean, what is this guy? He apologized to BP because people were upset about the oil spilling into the Gulf of Mexico and destroying our ecosystem. He apologized to them. I'm not a big believer in heaven and hell, but I hope there's a hell, because he's going there. He's going there. Professor Dr. Andrew, I'm sorry to say that we have to end this show.
Because it's been a three-hour show today.
Yeah, 1 hour. 1 hour went very fast. We have another hour to do with Dr. Michael Smith. We've covered a lot of ground. I'm going to post your notes. In fact, I'm going to post this entire show note that Professor Dr. Andrew sent to me in preparation for this, so that all of you can get a copy of it and feel free to pass this around. Look at it. It's shocking stuff. It's shocking stuff. We need to take steps to protect ourselves against radiation. That's the bottom line, because we're never going to get away from radiation, because the government will continue to build these poisonous power plants that will destroy our country. Professor Dr. Andrew, as always, thank you so much for taking time to come on Superhuman Radio today.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Always a pleasure to be there.
And we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay.
Okay. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we'll have Dr. Michael Smith on the line, and we got some great topics to cover with you. We'll be right back. Lean back. Lean back. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at NeedToBuildMuscle.com. If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today. Day. Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines 3 of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, Superdrol, and Decadrol. The combination of these 3 agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to IronMagLabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme. Finally, a bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol, with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long, because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Just want to remind everybody one more time, Orbit Nutrition has a product line they are pushing right now called Genomics, and they have a Slinsane, which is an insulin mimetic that's designed to cause nutrient partitioning. So after your workout or any time of the day, you can make sure that more of your meal is going to muscle growth and less to fat. And then, of course, Protocol, which is a pre- and intra-workout supplement. And you can buy them both and stack them both and save big money. Go to orbitnutrition.com today. Well, he's always a fan favorite, and he's on the show again. It's that Dr. Michael Smith from Life Extension Foundation. How you doing, Dr. Smith?
I'm doing very well, Carl. Thank you for having me on your show again.
Sure, sure.
Always a pleasure.
And you know what? Good subjects that you want to talk about, really good subjects. We recently did a show about BCAAs, and let me just kind of give you a little back history. We did a show about branched-chain amino acids because they work, and
right.
We're always looking for these exotic things, you know? Oh, well, this
the
pill.
The expensive things too, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, wait a minute, you know, branched-chain amino acids, 3 grams of leucine influences mTOR, upregulates protein synthetic response in muscle, both from exercise and even in the absence of exercise. Why aren't more people taking BCAAs? And, you know, obviously you can eat a lot of protein, but as we get older, there are enzymatic responses that don't happen,
right.
And a lot of these amino acids don't necessarily get cleaved the way they're supposed to, and they're not utilized. So free-form amino acids are beneficial, and
right.
We did a whole show on BCAAs and said, hey, they work. Why aren't you taking them, you know?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. It's interesting. We run into this problem a lot here at Life Extension, where so many people – I think it's sensationalism. It's marketing. We want that latest and greatest all the time, and we think that if a company or if a radio show host or a doctor like myself, if we're not always talking about that latest finding, that herb, you know, that magic one pill weight loss, you know, whatever it is, it's like we get this. People start to think that we're not up to date on things,
yeah.
And I it's frustrating, Carl, because I actually teach what I call the supplement pyramid, and you know how there's the food pyramid? Well, there's a supplement pyramid too, and at the base of the pyramid is actually all of your core foundational supplements, and so many people call us here at Life Extension, and they're not even doing even the simplest things, the basic vitamins and minerals.
Right.
And I always tell people, Carla, I mentioned this on your show before too, I don't always know exactly what that exotic new supplement or herb or whatever it is you want to talk about does, but I sure do know what the basics do. I know what the vitamins do. I know what the minerals do. We know the importance of protein and amino acid, how important they are to the human body, and specifically we're learning more and more about the branched chain amino acids. Is it because they're just not fancy enough for people? I mean, I think
what you said is true. I think that we are, as a population, as individuals, as a population, we tend to believe that anything that is new has been A, built on the foundation of something that is old, which means
right.
B, that
That's
it's better,
point.
That it's
yeah.
better. So we automatically assume, well, if they discovered BCAAs decades ago, and we know that they have these muscle-building anti-catabolic benefits, they have neurotransmitter benefits, leucine staves off to a great degree fatigue because it interacts right. with the serotonin receptor and blocks the uptake of serotonin. And so you say to yourself, well, that's a really good thing, but these new things must be better than that. Surely something that is new implies it's better.
Yeah, and usually the new things cost a lot of money. They're not well known scientifically yet, but we run into this problem all the time. People always want to talk about that latest and greatest thing, and that's not always the best thing to talk about.
I just had a funny thought. Imagine industry just in general, right? Imagine an industry that comes out with something and then, 10 years later, you call them up and say, hey, what do you got? Well, we're still selling that same thing. Really? Yeah, it still works. It's like people get disappointed. They're like, oh, okay.
They always want that latest and greatest, and I always refer people back to the basics. And that's why I think the branched chain amino acids are so important. Now, I know that most of your listeners, Carl, are and we have to remember this too. Life Extension members, your listeners, they're a different breed. They're healthy. They're into this stuff. You have to realize too, most people out there, the average person in the United States, does not know basic nutrition. And so I always think it's a great thing for us to sometimes come back to the basics and review some of the latest findings on some of the older supplements. And not only is that good for, learning something new for your listeners about branched chain amino acids, and we'll talk about that, but there are, maybe there are some listeners who need to hear and just learn about some of the basics. And I got to tell you, branched chain amino acids, they've been used in the bodybuilding and powerlifting markets for many, many years now.
Right.
And but what we're learning is that it goes so far beyond muscle and muscle metabolism. It goes now with some really good evidence into direct longevity.
Really?
We are now considering placing the branched chain amino acids into their own category, beyond muscle recovery and muscle building, and into this longevity category, the same category that we place PQQ in, pyroloquinoline quinone.
Really?
The same categories that we're placing respiratrol in.
I want to understand the science of why BCAAs fall into longevity, but we have to take this one break in order to get back on our time clock here.
No problem.
We're going to take a one quick commercial break. And as soon as we come back, I want to hear why BCAAs enhance longevity. We're talking this hour with Dr. Michael Smith from Life Extension Foundation. If you don't have a copy of Life Extension Magazine, go to my website now, superhumanradio.com, and get a free 6-month subscription. Look at the bottom right-hand corner. You can call it in or you can click and fill out the form. Greatest magazine I get every month. Check it out. We'll be right back. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. orbitnutrition.com, the best supplements in the universe are at orbitnutrition.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines 3 of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, Superdrol, and Decadrol. The combination of these 3 agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to IronMagLabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme. The 4th most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MaHLer.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour is Dr. Michael Smith. We're just about to break the news on why you should also be taking BCAAs for longevity. Okay, now I have to be honest with you. During the commercial break, somebody posted on my Facebook wall the study that I think you're going to refer to. So please go ahead. It's very exciting, in fact.
Well, yeah, you know, and let me ask you this. I'm just kind of curious. Do you take branched-chain amino acids?
Yes. I not only take BCAAs, but I use free-form leucine with my whey protein powder to enhance the protein synthetic response from it, and right. also and to stabilize.
And that's important. And that's important. You know, the free form is the most important. And we'll get to the appropriate products here coming up. But that free form is what's critical.
Right. Right.
The free form leucine is really what's critical to the body. I don't take branched chain amino acids mainly because when I work out, I'm working out mostly for activity. Increase in metabolic rate and stuff like that. So I don't do heavy lifting, stuff like that. I do more resistant exercises.
Right.
But I gotta tell you, I'm gonna start, and when I tell you I'm adding something to my regimen.
That's a big deal.
It is, because I already do a lot, and I really like my supplement pyramid.
Right.
I have a good foundation. I have a good preventative program based on my personal needs. I got a good optimization level in my pyramid where I do all my resveratrol, stuff like that. But I have not added something to my regimen in well over a couple of years.
And you're thinking of doing this now?
I'm thinking of doing this based on these new longevity studies. Now, there's two different studies, and I'm going to first give you what I think is going to be the gold standard that we're going to base these the branched chain amino acids off of. And it was a mouse study that was reported in the Journal of International Society of Sports Nutrition in 2010. And in this journal, what they showed was that branched chain amino acids can increase the lifespan of an average mouse that was fed the BCAAs by 12%.
That's impressive, by the way.
It's huge. That's actually huge. And
because Clotho experiments were able to extend life, but this is just in worms, 30%.
Right.
And that was like a major breakthrough.
Well, even calorie restriction, even resveratrol, some of those other what we call calorie restriction mimetic nutrients like fisetin, pterostilbene, you know, the ones we've talked about before.
Sure.
Even in mouse studies, they might increase longevity 5 to 8%. I think resveratrol and calorie restriction are approaching maybe 10%. So here was a study. Now, granted, it's just the beginning, right? But we got to start somewhere, Carl. If we wait for conclusive evidence, we wouldn't be taking vitamin C right now. So we do have to start somewhere. And in this rat study where they were given free-form branched chain amino acids, and we can go over the dosing later if you want to hear that, but ultimately
I want to hear the dosing and I want to hear the ratio. Did they use the traditional 2-1-1 ratio? We'll talk about
that
later.
They did, and they did. We'll get to that, and we'll give you the human equivalent doses in this. And ultimately, the average mouse went from 774 days to 869 days.
Wow.
That's the equivalent of many years to the human lifespan. So this is major. This is something that I don't understand why other companies and other doctors aren't picking up on this the way they did resveratrol and calorie restriction. This is major.
You know what? But we said why. Because BCAAs have been out around all along,
right,
and resveratrol
right, yeah.
came out at the time when they said, hey, it'll make you live longer, so we take it, you know?
Yeah, and you're right, and most people are, I probably find, again, your listeners are a little bit different. So the reason I'm so excited we're talking about this with your listeners, because most of your listeners who take this, they were right, not only for the muscle effects, but for the longevity effects. But again, most people out there don't find branched chain amino acids. The name's boring, let's be honest.
Right.
You know, resveratrol sounds exotic, so there's
something,
you know, and that's how we are as crazy humans. But there's basically what we now know, four major pathways that have been affected with branched chain amino acids. And now they've been studying these pathways, and we know that these pathways are major implicators of the aging process. The first one is the endothelial nitric oxide synthase pathway. As you know, what's the leading cause of death in this country, and actually in most of the Western Hemisphere? And that's cardiovascular disease, right? So one of the first things that a lot of your longevity scientists do is they look at how well a nutrient or an exercise program or a diet program improves the health of the endothelial cell, which is the cell that lines the inside of the artery.
Right.
And one of the key things that this cell does is it makes nitric oxide, which allows for vessels to dilate. Without the ability for a vessel to dilate, basically, you don't have life. I mean, it's so important for the cardiovascular system to be able to manage blood pressure that way. And really, the better the artery is at maintaining blood pressure with nitric oxide, that has a direct impact on overall longevity. So one of the first, most simple, basic things you can do in longevity science is look at whether or not the endothelial cell, whether or not nitric oxide gets produced more when you feed a mouse or even a human a certain nutrient. So when they fed branched chain amino acids to the mice that were involved in this study, the first thing they looked at was this nitric oxide production, and sure enough, it went up about 25% to 30% with branched chain amino acids. That's a major, major step first in longevity science.
Now, for the guys out there, I want to translate one thing real quick, because guys are funny. Live longer, not that big of a deal. Better sex. Wow, I'm listening now. But more nitric oxide means better erections. Just so you know.
Funny, every time I give a lecture, Carl, no matter what the topic is, a man will be in that audience, and they will somehow relate it to erectile dysfunction.
Well, it's the truth, because a phosphodiesterase type 5 inhibitors basically increase nitric oxide production. That's all they do.
That's exactly what they do. Now, let me put this into perspective, because you have to understand the simplicity of this. So here you give branched chain amino acids to the mice, and I'm extrapolating this to humans. I think you'll get the same result, which makes sense with muscle metabolism. You have an increase in vasodilatation all over the body, especially to skeletal muscles. That's because there's better nitric oxide production. Now, things like pomegranate, dark chocolate, quercetin, these are things that have also been shown to do that. But when it comes to the other three longevity points we're going to talk about, those kind of nutrients, the pomegranate, for instance, doesn't really affect the rest of these coming up. But you don't even, you know, if something cannot improve nitric oxide production, you're not even going to continue with the longevity study. It has to at least first do that. So that's the first thing they look at, and the branched chain amino acids are very successful at nitric oxide production. Now, here's where I thought it got really exciting to me. The second thing they look at, once you've got that nitric oxide working better, that's the first sign.
Right.
The second thing that they like to look at are the anti-aging genes, how these genes are activated. These are called the CERT genes. I'm sure you've heard of those, right?
Sure. That's the one that resveratrol and starving yourself upregulate.
There you go. Starving yourself. I like the way you put that. So, the CERT genes are basically there's 7 of them. And each gene will regulate a certain process in the human body, but all of the CERTs together basically are cell protective. That's why they help the cell live longer. And the key one we look at there is CERT1. That's what resveratrol and calorie restriction activate. And we don't really understand the whole mechanism there, but we do know that when you look at cell energy production, when you look at how much carnitine and how many fats come into the mitochondria, that's a direct indication of how active CERT1 is. You give these mice branched chain amino acid, CERT1 activity increases by up to 50%. That's huge. I don't know if people understand what that means, but that means there's a 50% activation of the CERT1 gene. Now, calorie restriction is about that good. Resveratrol and the rest of those types of polyphenols are maybe around 25-30%. So you're talking about a major activation of CERT1. But it didn't end there. There are 6 other CERT genes that calorie restriction doesn't even really touch. Well, guess what? The branched chain amino acid showed some activation to all 7 CERT genes. That's massive. This is a huge finding for good old-fashioned, very simple leucine, isoleucine, and valine. Very simple, very cheap supplements overall.
What kind of doses? Daily doses in human form. Human.
If you do what we call human equivalent dosing, we do believe that would be. And you're not gonna believe these numbers. This is what's amazing about this.
Let me guess. Can I guess?
Well, go ahead. It's gonna be a lot. Go ahead.
5 grams of BCAAs.
5 grams total. You're way too high.
Really?
Yeah. If you look at the my studies, it looks like the leucine was around 1,200 to 1,500 milligrams. That's only 1.2 to 1.5 grams. The isoleucine, human equivalent dosing, 600 milligrams.
Wow.
And the valine, 600 milligrams. So those higher doses, which are probably better more for the muscle metabolism, the direct effect on skeletal muscle,
right,
not even necessary for the longevity effects.
Wow. Wow.
So I knew you were going to give me a number that was too high.
Well, yeah, because I'm looking at the mTOR research and what stimulates mTOR and so on. Exactly.
Yeah, and the mTOR stuff, the mTOR relationship is really about skeletal muscle metabolism, about cell signaling, about protein synthesis. That's where mTOR is so powerful. And that's why, you know, let's be honest, most people that are doing branched chain amino acids are doing it for the stimulation on mTOR. By the way, we know that branched-chain amino acids and mTOR are directly related. They act synergistically on protein synthesis, for instance. And you do need those higher doses, it looks like, for the activation of that mTOR pathway. But when it comes to the longevity, when it comes to nitric oxide production, when it comes to the activation of SIRT1, and it looks like SIRT2 through 7, you're looking at much lower doses, and that's how powerful those branched-chain amino acids are. Now, but it makes sense, doesn't it, Carl? Branched-chain amino acids are not metabolized by the liver. They get right into your bloodstream. They have direct effects on skeletal muscle cells, so it makes sense that the longevity impact they have happen at lower doses because they have their own metabolic pathways versus the other amino acids. To me, it makes perfect sense. But listen, Carl, it doesn't even end there. There are two other major aging pathways we like to look at in anti-aging medicine. So we got the nitric oxide, right?
Right.
That's going up. You got the activation of the SIRT genes. Those are all going up.
Right.
Now, the next big one is the reactive oxygen species pathways.
Right.
You cannot call any nutrient a longevity nutrient if you don't depress certain parts of that ROS signaling pathway. The major pathways, they're called MK pathways. There's different kinases. These are enzymes that are involved in the production of these free radicals. And the major ones are the MK and the MPK4 pathways. And again, you can find this all in the study. What they showed was that they dampened these ROS pathways at those lower doses. It takes, for instance, pomegranate, where, you know, people taking 250 to 500 milligrams a day of pomegranate aren't coming close to dampening those ROS pathways like we once thought. Branched-chain amino acids do it at significantly lower doses than most people are doing it. So right there, you got the third component. You're decreasing the ROS pathways.
Right.
Fourth and final longevity test, and here's the one that we're focusing on at Life Extension now, and that's mitochondrial biogenesis. We know that if you want better cell production, if you want better metabolism, if you want better control over any of these cell signaling pathways, whether it's the nitric oxide pathway, whether it's the reactive oxygen species pathway, the cell has to be able to function better. And the only way a cell can function better is if you have better ATP output, adenosine triphosphate output, that's cell energy.
Listen, when we talked about PQQ, you came on the air and said, I know how everybody in the audience is going to die someday. They're going to die because their mitochondria is going to stop replicating, it's going to stop producing energy, and their organs are going to fail, and their brain's going to fail, everything's just going to stop.
Yeah, and you can forget about all this other stuff about SIRT genes and everything else, right?
Right.
So one of the key things, I mean, that's why we're so excited about PQQ, is because of that direct effect on mitochondrial biogenesis, the production of new mitochondria. Now, here, let me give you a little background, and this is, again, why I'm so excited about this. We always kind of thought that branched-chain amino acids had an impact on mitochondrial biogenesis, because of the impact that they have on muscle health. I mean, think of it this way. If you're working out and you're taking branched-chain amino acids at those higher doses, right, for mTOR, you naturally have healthier muscle. And healthier muscle naturally does what? Makes energy better. So you naturally increase mitochondrial biogenesis simply through the health of the muscle through exercise in the branched-chain amino acids. Well, we always kind of thought that, but now guess what? We are actually showing that branched-chain amino acids not only indirectly impact mitochondrial biogenesis, but they do it the same way PQQ does. There's evidence now that branched-chain amino acids like isoleucine could actually act as a transcription factor, something that actually directly speaks to the DNA, just like PQQ does. So you're talking about a branched-chain amino acid like isoleucine that not only makes the muscle healthier, and the muscle makes more mitochondria just because of the health of the muscle, but also goes directly into the nucleus of the cell and acts as a transcription factor, turning on the mitochondrial genes, just like PQQ.
Wow.
That is powerful. It goes beyond muscle health, which is something that blew me away.
So,
do
you have to take that 1 milligram gram dose of combined BCAAs several times a day, just once a day?
The equivalent dose would have been once a day. equivalent dose of once a day of about 1.2 to 1.5 grams of leucine, 600 milligrams of isoleucine, and 600 milligrams of valine would have been the human equivalent dose for the day.
So it's basically a 3-gram dose all day for the whole day.
Yeah. Now, of course, remember, most people are doing what? Most bodybuilders are doing much higher than that because they're doing
I take 4 grams of leucine with each of my whey protein drinks 3 times a day. Plus, I take.
Now, 4 grams total?
No, in each drink plus the protein, plus 50 grams of whey protein.
Right. And then I take
5 grams of BCAAs twice a day.
Right. So you're doing that because of the work you're not, you're doing it basically for that protein synthesis pathway. You're doing it for the mTOR. You're doing it for what most people are doing it. The
right.
point I'm making here, and that those are good doses. What we're saying is it looks like when it comes to the longevity side, you don't even need that much.
Right.
So people who aren't interested like myself, I don't work out probably as hard as you do. I mean, I do more resistant training, as I mentioned before. I do a lot of circuit training.
Right.
And I do the lighter rate, the higher reps. So I don't – for me, muscle tonicity is more important than muscle mass. So for me personally, I never really got into branched-chain amino acids because I really didn't want to do those higher doses.
Right.
But now it turns out I don't have to do that. I can do a simple lower dose BCA product and get the longevity benefits that I'm actually looking for. So branched-chain amino acids, Carl, your listeners have got to write this down. They cover all of the basic longevity factors, nitric oxide, the SIRT genes. They dampen the reactive oxygen species, specifically that MPK4 pathway, which is a major one, and they initiate mitochondrial biogenesis indirectly because of healthier muscle and directly as a transcription factor. At least that's where we're going with our theory.
Wow.
This is powerful stuff. This is brand new stuff. If you're not taking branched-chain amino acids, take it from me. I don't add it takes a lot for me to add something to my regimen. I'm going to add branched-chain amino acids
cool.
now at these lower doses.
Cool. Very, very cool. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a type of seaweed that can actually reverse metabolic syndrome. We're talking this hour with Dr. Michael Smith from Life Extension Foundation. Get your copy of Life Extension Magazine by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Life Extension Magazine banner down at the bottom right-hand side and get a free 6-month subscription on the house. Check it out. We'll be right back. Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines 3 of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world. Dimethazine, Superdrol, and Decadrol. The combination of these 3 agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to ironmaglabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net. If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most
most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
I'm going to change that liner to get stronger, feel younger, take BCAAs. All right. We're off of the BCAAs for now. We got
to
move
on. Wait. Wow. One more thing. I have to say one more thing, okay. Carl. Real quick. Vegetarian people that want to get the BCAAs, the best blends, believe it or not, we believe are the pea artichoke and brown rice blends. You just got to make sure it has an enzyme blend in there, specifically the galactosidase enzyme, so you get better absorption. So there are options with those blends for vegetarians looking for the BCAA.
So in other words, most free-form amino acids come from where? From animal sources?
Yeah, most cases they come from animal sources. So we actually, Life Extension developed a product called Pure Plant Protein.
See, but I don't even see why even people split hairs about this. And I had this discussion on Facebook recently, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
A free-form amino acid, as the name implies, is free of the original form that it came from.
Right.
So that means that it is the lowest common denominator of something. It's kind of like saying a molecule of nitrogen from an animal versus a molecule of nitrogen from a piece of wood are different. No, they're not. It's a molecule of nitrogen. It's free of the original form. So getting hung up on like, well, I want a vegan source of BCAAs, you're wasting your time. It doesn't matter.
Carl, you know what? You're absolutely right. However, it was a big enough issue for people out there that we developed a product called Pure Plant Protein. So okay. It is an issue for some people. So we have it. It's a pea, artichoke, and brown rice blend. It has that right enzyme blend so you can actually absorb it. And hey, if that's what they're interested in, that's what they're interested in. But you're absolutely right. I mean, leucine is leucine. Once leucine's in the cat, does it really matter? I agree, but it's what people want.
No,
so we got
I understand.
That product for
I understand. Okay, yeah. So let's move on. So tell me about this new is it pronounced fucanosoid? I want to say because
you say that again. I'm going to make you say it again, Carl.
Fucanosoid.
No, it's way off. It's fucoidins.
Fucoidins. Okay. You know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of something that was found in seaweed called fucoxanthin, which is a
fucoxanthin is different, right?
Yeah.
That's a pigmented molecule that's good for fat burning. This is totally different.
Right.
Even though it starts with fucoid, the fucoidins have no relation to the fucoxanthin.
Okay.
Now here, let me ask you this question. How much seaweed do you eat a day?
I used to eat it. I don't eat any at all now. No.
So you eat zero, right?
Right.
So what's the average intake of seaweed for the average American in this?
Oh my God! Unless they're going to a sushi bar once in a while, zero.
Yeah, absolutely zero. So how much seaweed do you think the average Japanese adult eats?
Oh, I bet you they eat a third of a pound a day.
I don't know if it's that. They eat probably around 6 grams a day.
Okay.
So, you know, so basically a lot of seaweed. So we asked this, there's epidemiologists out there who have been really wanting to know why it is that the Japanese population has so many people living over 100, right? And now, again, there's probably a lot of reasons for that, correct, Carl?
Yeah.
I mean, from lifestyle to exercise, stuff like that. But there is one thing. There's one thing that is very different between an average Japanese adult and an American adult. And that one thing is the consumption of seaweed. And then when you look at the type of seaweed that the Japanese on average eat, now I'm going to probably mess up the name, but it's Yundaria.
Okay.
I think that's how we pronounce it. That one species of seaweed just so happens to have the greatest concentration of this pretty amazing molecule called a fucoidin.
Okay.
Now a fucoidin is actually a glyconutrient. And as you know, the glyconutrient industry was pretty big a few years ago.
Right.
You remember all that stuff about cell signaling?
Yes.
And it kind of fell out of favor because basically CoQ10 took over and vitamin D research took over. So the glyconutrients kind of fell out of favor, but I got to tell you, I think they're going to come back, and I think one of the key ways they're going to be reintroduced into the industry, at least that's what we feel at Life Extension, is through these fucoidins. Now, fucoidins have all kinds of different effects on the human body. We're going to focus mostly on the effects of the ability to metabolize sugars, which is an interesting thing because when I tell people that fucoidins are sugars, that's what glyconutrient means, then they say, well, how can it help with sugar?
Right.
And people get a little confused with that. So let me make sure I help everybody understand this. There basically are two broad categories of sugars. And I'm not talking about simple versus complex. What I'm talking about is dietary versus non-dietary. Dietary sugars are sugars that are able to break down into glucose, come into the part of the cell called the cytosol, and undergo a breakdown process called glycolysis. Any sugar that can feed into this process called glycolysis is a dietary sugar. But not all sugars do that. Some sugars actually get inside the cell, and they will not break down that way. Those cells are called non-dietary sugars, and that's what fucoidins are. And most of these glyconutrients that a lot of people were focusing on a few years ago were non-dietary. One of my favorite non-dietary sugars that I use actually once in a while for an energy boost is D-ribose.
Right.
D-ribose is a non-dietary sugar. So now, see, people get confused, Carl, because they're like, wait a second. D-ribose is a non-dietary sugar, but it gives you energy, Dr. Smith. You just said it does. Well, it doesn't give you energy because it acts as a fuel source into the mitochondria. It gives you energy because there is a part of the mitochondria that is called the pentose pathway for energy production, and it's the pentose pathway that D-ribose runs basically. It's a cofactor for that part of the mitochondria. So D-ribose as a non-dietary sugar gives you energy. Not because it feeds into the mitochondria, but because it runs one of those pathways. That's how it gives you energy.
Gotcha, gotcha.
So I think a lot of these glyconutrients will come back, and we're really excited about the fucoidin specifically.
Now, what is the evidence that it can actually reverse metabolic syndrome, which encompasses a lot of things?
Well, yeah. I mean, first of all, remember, metabolic syndrome is cholesterol issues. Mainly, it's going to be your the low HDL. High triglycerides, obesity. Now, the obesity part, Carl, is not really obesity. It's really central fat. It's really
visceral fat.
Yeah, central yeah. obesity.
Right.
And then, of course, I don't know if I said blood pressure issues. So, blood pressure, central obesity, HDL, triglycerides, and blood sugar,
which are all related to insulin resistance.
Yeah, all of those are related basically to insulin resistance.
Right.
Interestingly enough, the Japanese culture has a much lower rate of insulin resistance. Their insulin sensitivity is quite preserved throughout their entire lifetime. Do you think there's a connection there then between
maybe
insulin
See, we, yeah.
sensitivity and longevity?
Could be. I mean, it really could be. I mean, obviously, it remains to be seen. We try to extrapolate from other cultures how we can capitalize on the good things about those cultures.
Well, but it's interesting. Unlike when you're an epidemiologist and you're looking at when you're comparing two cultures together, the more things they have in common, the less likely you're to believe that one thing that might be different
right.
has a great impact.
Right.
However, when you look at the Japanese culture versus the American culture, and when you specifically look at seaweed consumption, I mean, you know, just from your own experience, most Americans don't even touch seaweed. So that's one very dramatic difference, statistically speaking. So when you have that dramatic of a difference, regardless of some of those other confounding factors, when it's that dramatic, no consumption in one place, significant consumption in the other place, epidemiologists are more prone, despite the other factors, to hang their statistical hat on that. And that's what they're doing with these fucoidins. Now, and also understand, too, it's probably not just the fucoidin. Seaweeds are loaded with other metabolic boosters like the pigmented nutrients like the fucoxanthin. So, again, this is pretty brand new stuff, but
right.
we're really excited about this. We know that, in particular, there was a study that was done, and I got it, it's in our newest article. I'm referencing it here. It was called Fucoidin, Structure and Bioactivity, and it was published in 2008 in the peer-reviewed journal called Molecules, which is a very good biochemistry journal. And what they found is that the fucoidins, and I'm going to give you what they do similar to lipoic acid. What they do is they actually have an ability to down-regulate and kind of relax insulin receptors. What happens with insulin resistance is insulin receptors basically get damaged. These are called the GLUT receptors, specifically
right.
GLUT4, which is on
right.
skeletal. Yeah,
right.
GLUT4 receptors basically change in shape. And so you need more and more insulin to be released to overcome that slight change in shape, right? Well, what the fucoidins, what the lipoic acids do is they help to downregulate those receptors and allow the cell to almost, in a sense, repair those receptors, express them on the surface so they're more like they should look, and that's what we mean by restoring insulin sensitivity.
Yeah, they're like little repair teams, they sound like.
Yeah, that's exactly. And I only, before fucoidins, the only other nutrient that I really believe did that was the lipoic acid. I always talk about lipoic acid when it comes to insulin sensitivity issues. Now I'm going to start focusing a little bit on the fucoidins from that report in 2008 that we're now talking about at Life Extension in the journal Molecules. So we actually believe fucoidins have a direct effect on insulin receptors, the GLUT4 receptors. When you improve those receptors, you'll see an improvement in blood sugar levels. You'll see an improvement in blood metabolism. You'll see an improvement in kidney function, which affects the renin system. So blood pressure is controlled better, and you'll see an improvement in the reverse cholesterol transport system,
right.
Which we know lipoic acid does, so you'll get the rise in the HDL. So again, we believe because of the direct effect on the receptor, the fucoidins are the next in line as insulin sensitizers for the body.
Pretty exciting. Now, how much seaweed does someone have to eat if they want to just eat seaweed?
6 grams a day? Or
uh-huh.
No, we don't know. We actually think that the right dose of fucoidin. Now, remember, at Life Extension, we're an extraction based company, right? We're not a whole food based company.
Right.
We have nothing against whole food based companies. Garden of Life, for instance, is a wonderful company, but we don't make a seaweed product. What we do is we identify what we believe is the best benefit out of that seaweed, and in this case, that's the fucoidin, right?
Right.
So what we do is we take the fucoidin out, and we decide based on the 6 grams a day that the average Japanese person eats, they're getting around 100 to 150 milligrams of fucoidins. So we based our products. It's a pure fucoidin product, so don't worry about a taste or anything like that. It has no taste to it. It's the raw molecule from the seaweed itself, but there's no seaweed in the final product because I know Americans are just turned off by seaweed.
As a matter of fact, you know what I thought about on the way home today? I have to stop at the grocery store. I was going to stop and pick up a pack of nori, which is the seaweed sheets that I used to use to make sushi at home.
Yeah, I actually eat a decent. I actually probably consume far more than the average American does. I mean, nothing close to what the average Japanese
right.
adult does, right?
But
with that said, knowing that, you know, I could talk about increasing seaweed in our diet in this country, but that would just be silly.
Yeah.
Because it's just not part of our culture. And as much as I would like people to do that, I know that's just not going to happen.
Right.
So do we just not talk about fucoidins, or do we develop a nice extract? And that's exactly what we did.
Okay.
So we have 100 milligram fucoidin in one simple soft gel every day. You can take it with or without food. It has absolutely no taste. And you're going to get all of these benefits to insulin receptor sensitivity, the GLUT4 receptor. And when that happens, you start seeing major improvements in metabolic syndrome.
Well, not only that, but you'll find that you'll get leaner. If your insulin is sensitized, you have greater sensitivity to insulin, you'll get leaner.
Absolutely.
I mean, so there's another plus there, and you'll put on better muscle. So
yeah, and we are Life Extension. Maybe your listeners don't know this, Carl, but we actually have a really good active clinical research department. We're one of the only companies that really have an actual clinical research department that runs studies, and we're thinking about doing a fucoidin based study where we're going to be looking at insulin sensitivity, hemoglobin A1C levels, fasting blood sugar, fasting blood insulin, and your glucose tolerance testing using fucoidins versus lipoic acid versus nothing. And really just laying out which would be the best nutrient for that.
That makes perfect sense.
My opinion, both.
I was just going to say, just combine
R, alpha-lipoic acid with fucoidins, and you're done.
And I'm glad you said R. R is the better form of the supplement for lipoic acid, yeah. No doubt. Alpha is a mix. You don't want to get the S. Go ahead and just get the pure R. That's what we support here at Life Extension. Right. So, yeah, we're really excited. Fucoidins. Oh, by the way,
yes.
Herpes simplex 1 virus, if yes. you ever get the outbreak on your mouth, fucoidins have been shown to actually be antiviral to herpes simplex. I don't know about herpes simplex 2 yet, but herpes simplex 1, which involves the mouth, definitely. And believe it or not, they're actually looking in Africa, in some other Central American countries, of fucoidins for the effect on malaria.
Wow.
So very powerful nutrients coming out. It goes back to this whole industry of glyconutrients that you're familiar with that kind of fell out of favor.
Right.
They should not have fallen out of favor. We know that the glyconutrients have a direct effect on how the immune system communicate together, and that's where we believe the fucoidins are working, along with direct antiviral effects. So,
cool.
Again, this is just a well-rounded molecule from seaweed. The Japanese got it right. If you're not going to eat the seaweed, go ahead and take the extract.
Yeah, but definitely don't buy any seaweed from Japan right now. We just did the first half of the show about Fukushima and radiation, so there you go.
And we don't get our fucoidin from Japan. We get it from the southern coast of South America near Patagonia.
Cool. Okay. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, Dr. Smith, I want to revisit an old subject, sex hormone binding globulin. Okay?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay,
so you're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5388. And mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. Finally, a bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSsupplements.com today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MahLer.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe.
safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Da 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 da. It's the one and only Eagle Double G.
Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg.
Da 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 da.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're on with Dr. Michael Smith from Life Extension Foundation. If you don't already get Life Extension Magazine, go to superhumanradio.com. Look at the bottom right-hand side of the page, and you can get a free six-month subscription. Does LEF send that magazine to Europe, Dr. Smith?
Yeah, we'll send the magazine. We have members all over the world, so that magazine goes everywhere.
Okay, so there you go. So if you're one of my listeners and you're outside the United States, don't hesitate to take advantage of this fantastic magazine. Okay, sex hormone binding globulin. We've heard a lot about it in the past. But you're out promoting something new about it, right?
Well, what we're saying is it's one of the key, you know, more and more traditional medical doctors are finally focusing on bioidentical hormone restoration, specifically for men with testosterone, for women with estrogen, which we think is a good thing. But unfortunately, they don't always know what they're doing, and what ends up happening is many men and women will go on testosterone and estrogen, and at first they'll get a decent effect. And then the effect kind of starts to diminish, the free levels of the hormones kind of even begin to drop, the doctors get confused, they just keep throwing more and more hormones at the person, which causes more and more imbalances, and it's a very simple thing that they got to check, which is the sex hormone binding globulin. We've made this a blood test. We can check for it either independently for our customers, but we've also added it to our basic hormone panels now at an incredible price. And that's how important we think it is. The thing that I wanted to mention to you is it's not really anything new, Carl. It's just that we now have some good evidence that some of our original suggestions are actually right on when it comes to helping people with sex hormone binding globulin issues. The issues are either when they're too high, you start to develop hormonal imbalances. We know that when sex hormone binding globulin is high, it kind of acts like a glue, holding on to the testosterones and the estrogens.
Yeah,
and it basically
deactivates the hormone that it attaches to.
Yeah, and so your free level, that actual bioactive level of that hormone, what's free to the skeletal tissue, the muscle tissue, just decreases. So your total could be just fine because of the supplementation, but what's active to the tissue can actually drop. Right. We know that when sex hormone binding globulins are high and the free levels of estrogen and testosterone drop, we start seeing osteoporosis, cardiovascular disease. Testosterone, for instance, starts to get metabolized into DHT and estrogen in men more, and that's when we get prostate issues. We also know it plays a role in sleep apnea. The question really has been for a lot of people is, so what do you do about it? When sex hormone binding globulin is high, when it's deactivating these bioactive levels of these important hormones, what can you do about it? And traditionally speaking, most people never knew. Well, we've had a protocol on how to handle sex hormone binding globulin for quite some time. Some new information is coming out from the Journal of Clinical Nutrition soon. There's actually one in Asia, a clinical
Do you guys espouse stinging nettle root as one of the
that's one of them, but believe it or not, even before that, a high quality cruciferous vegetable extract is very effective, a standalone DIM and indole-3-carbinol nettles, and then what I really like, my favorite that I think you're going to see a few publications coming out, are the lignans. Lignans are these molecules that come from the pulpy part, the woody part of trees and plants. The human form is called enterolactone. When you swallow a plant-based lignin, it goes into your system. It's activated in the gut to enterolactone. Enterolactone actually competes directly, more than even nettles, for that binding spot on the sex hormone binding globulin. So we've had a standalone lignin product for women, for instance. It's called Natural Female Support. We've been using for quite some time now, and it turns out we were absolutely right, and you're going to see some publications. So there are things you can do. The key thing you don't want to do, if you're on testosterone, if you're on estrogen, and you're getting less and less effect, and your free levels, your free testosterone, free estrogen, if they start to drop, don't let your doctor just keep throwing hormones at you. That can actually compound the issue, right? What you need to maybe do is think about SHBG and think about getting other things to compete for those binding sites, the DIM, the I3C, the nettles, and what I think are the lignans. And that's just really, and it turns out you're going to see some publications this year. Life Extension was right on it, like we always usually are, and we're really excited that, fine, you know, anytime our protocols are going to be supported in some good peer-reviewed journals, it makes us happy because we've been doing it for many years.
Right.
We're just waiting for traditional doctors to catch up.
Right, right. No, I understand entirely. So the sex hormone binding globulin test, they can get at your website.
If you just go to lef.org. or lifeextension.com, and that'll pull up the homepage. And the top right corner is our search box. Just put in SHBG, and it will pull up maybe some of the products like the lignans. But if you just go further down on the page, you'll see the male and female Life Extension hormone panels, and then you'll see the SHBG all by itself. By the way, we have a great sale in all of our blood testing services right now, so you can get a great deal.
But, you know, interestingly enough, when I had Dr. Paul Godley on the show several years ago, when the original paper, position paper of the Journal of the Journal of the American Cancer Society was published, and they took their position on prostate cancer and and androgens, and they basically said in this very lengthy paper, there is no link between androgen levels and prostate cancer, not DHEA, not testosterone.
Right.
There is a linkage between prostate cancer and estrogen, but at that point in time, it wasn't truly elucidated. But the one thing that they did find was directly, there was a direct link to the rate of prostate cancer, and its ratio was sex hormone binding globulin. When men high SHBG, they have a higher incidence of prostate enlargement and cancer.
And you're going to see some more studies highlighting the fact that the higher the SHBD, the greater the risk of prostate cancer and breast cancer. That's going to come out this year. So and this is stuff we've been talking about, Life Extension, for a long time.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent stuff. Now, real quick, before we end the show, you are a busy guy. You're constantly flying and lecturing and doing seminars and webinars. What's going on at LEF now? What's the new frontier?
Well, we're looking again, right now we're focusing a lot on offering better blood testing services to our members. I've been flying around doing lectures. I have a webinar coming up called The Top 10 Blood Tests Your Doctor Does Not Know About and Will Not Order. And so we're going to teach people about basically how to talk to their doctors a little bit better, to demand certain blood testing like SHBG. That's something that's big for us. We have a lot of exciting new things coming down the line that we're going to be looking into, other types of sirtuin or sirt gene enhancers coming down. We got some new molecules, resveratrol-related type molecules we're going to be focusing on. And again, one of the things, though, that I pride myself in, Carl, is simply going back to the basics. And I'm going to be doing a whole series of lectures coming up. We're going to have it on our website. It's going to be on our media page, lifeextension.com/media or lef.org/media. And I'm going to teach people how to build the perfect supplement regimen for them. And it's based on the supplement pyramid. I got to tell you, we can talk about all these complex things over and over again, but so many people just don't even have the basics. They don't have the right quality of a product. They don't have the right dosing. And so I'm going to kind of focus a little bit for myself and our members a little bit more on the basics again, like the branched chain amino acids today. So I'm really happy you gave me the opportunity.
Yeah, I've been doing that myself. I've been talking about things that we know work, but we kind of turn our back on for whatever reason.
This happens. We know anytime you're in an industry that's growing like crazy, is the information evolves so fast. It's kind of like something comes out. It's like a new cell phone, right? You buy one cell phone, 6 months later, it's obsolete.
Right.
And we get that kind of attitude even with supplements, and we shouldn't. There's a reason why vitamin C, why the amino acids, why the magnesium, these basic minerals, why CoQ10, PQQ. There's a reason why these supplements are so critical. It's what the body is based upon, and I want to drive that into people, and our members and your listeners, that before you worry about spending a lot of money on that latest Amazon herb, I mean, every day I see something come out, I can't even pronounce half these herbs, I don't know what they do, I know what the basics do. If you want to live a long, healthy, productive, happy life, if you want to be balanced physically, spiritually, all that kind of stuff, you need to go back to the basics, what the body uses to remain healthy. If you do that, you'll be amazed how resilient the human body is.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Listen, Dr. Smith, as always, pleasure to have you on the show.
Carl, thank you so much.
And we'll talk to you again soon. And that is the end of today's episode of Superhuman Radio. Tune in tomorrow. We'll have more fun stuff for you then. And stay out of the radiation.